Welcome to Baling, Scanning and Barbecue. My name is Lawson Watt, and I'm a former hunting and fishing guide. Join me on the live stream and podcast every Thursday night. I interview guests from all over Australia and the world. Join me on my YouTube channel as I bring you highs and lows of the adventures I do with my mates and myself. So don't forget to check it out and subscribe. Thanks, guys. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Baling, Scanning and Barbecue. I'm actually quite impressed. We've got quite a few people watching at the moment. So I'm just going to do some housekeeping quickly. Before I say anything, I've got Jamie O'Toole on tonight. So Jamie has been there for the start for me. I'm a big fan of Jamie. I can't say a bad word about him. He's a great pig hunter, great dog trainer, a great person. So I'm very honored to get him back on. This is the second podcast we've done. I can't say a bad word about it. He's just a really nice guy. And, it all started for me, was with Jamie. I ended up going out to where Jamie lives and, having a hunt with him. Basically filmed him. I did three videos, a couple are on U-Hunt, and a couple are on YouTube. And it was awesome experience. He's a very busy man. He's got family. We'll get into a bit more about that. But first, I'm going to do some. Got a few notes I need to tick off before we get started. So, guys, there is a couple of pig hunting competitions coming up. I'm normally a pig hunter. I love my deer. I love any kind of hunting. But there are a couple of pig hunting competitions. The reason why I'm mentioning this is because BSB's, we've donated a couple of things. Oh, not a couple, just one thing. But, it is me on my lonesome. So it is coming out of my wage and I don't make a cent from this. So, out of my love for the sport, I've donated a bit of money. So, someone can go buy some collars for their dog or something like that. So, there's Narrabri coming up, I believe, in May. If you want to get involved, talk to Mark from Victoria Hunting Supplies. I believe he's the one sorting it all out. Have a chat to him. You can find it all on Facebook and Instagram. So check it out. Go check out the pig hunting competitions. And I also believe there's one on Weeper just been announced as well. Next thing is the shirt I'm wearing. It is Eureka Tactical. Now, I have no affiliations with these guys. Dan has done Send It Mate podcast and Zach from the Hunting Connection podcast. Great podcasts. Dan is someone who's trying to make a difference to the hunting community. Now, it's pretty important that we look after our hunting, from pig hunters to deer hunters to every bloody thing we do, from duck, the guys the ducks are losing. So Eureka Tactical, they have, if you're looking for, you want to have a say and you're not sure what to say, Dan from Eureka Tactical has templates. He can help, I believe. And also his articles written on many, many subjects. Now I've talked about gaining access actually with Jamie, who's on tonight, to properties. I've talked about many different subjects over the podcast over the last 4 or 5 years, where Dan is just putting in articles and doing it the right way. Dan's getting advice from people who are in the know-how, property owners, property managers themselves. And yeah, it's great, great work, great initiative from him. For me personally, I suck at writing letters, and from the template, which would help. It's a great idea. Fantastic. So check out Eureka Tactical. Like I said, got no affiliation with them. Just really like what they do. All right. I'll shut up. So I'd like to announce, again, like I said before, Jamie has been there for the start for me. He's a top bloke, great pig hunter. Dogs, I love his dogs. I've always had a bit of a thing for him because if you've watched any of the videos, I don't like running, and Jamie's got the speedsters, I call them. So the first time I met Jamie, I rang my father up and said, "Dad, check out these things." their rockets. So, yeah, I'd like to bring him in and we'll get the ball rolling. G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate.
Oh, yeah. Just needed to get that little ramble out before, get a bit of it all done before it all started. So, I just needed to say that about your Eureka Tactical and get the ball rolling and, yeah, just kind of need to say it. So, yeah, I'm good. I'm fresh now. So, race time, quick dinner, straight on here. Set up the lights, camera action, do me makeup, and we're into it. All right. So first question, mate, don't tell me exactly where you are, but whereabouts are you located? What area?
Australia. Northern New South Wales, mate.
Yeah. For people who have listened to the first podcast, yes, we ticked a few of these off, but they've quite a few new listeners and new people following. So I'll just go through the top three main questions, really. What do you do for work, mate?
Manage farms. I manage a pretty big farm for a big, pretty big company. Keeps me busy.
What's that involved, mate? Just you saw your video today on Instagram. You're back out there in the paddock.
Yeah, mate. We're planting at the moment. We're trying to harvest sorghum as well as plant the first of our canola. You got about 20,000 acres here.
Yep.
Yeah. So it keeps us busy. Yeah.
Yeah, and you live on the place, or you got another?
Yeah, I live on farm, mate. Yeah, yep, live on farm. Yeah, the joys of and the lifestyle—it's good stuff.
Yeah, and what about family, mate? I know since last time I've seen you, it's grown a little bit. So,
got my wife here and my eldest daughter and her young fella. Well, we've been together 5 odd years now. So, yeah, she's out here. So,
shows you how quick it's gone.
Mate, it's been a while.
It has. It's gone too quick. So, wife, I didn't realize it was wife yet. I thought it was.
Yeah, mate, girl. Close enough to it, mate. Close enough to it.
Nah, well, fair enough. You know, you see, you guys are doing everything together. It's great. And your wife has got a son with you as well. And you've got your kids, don't you?
He's not mine, but I've been with him for 4 years. But I even get on well with his father. His father's a good bloke.
No, very good.
Yeah,
very
but then I've got my youngest daughter lives with us as well. She's a mad keen pig gunner.
Yeah, I've seen. I think she's in a few of the videos coming up. So
mate, gets into it. She's not afraid to grab a pig. That's for sure. Comes in handy.
Parenting done right. That right there.
I'll yeah.
All right, we'll get into the questions straight away. I've got quite a few today, mate. So, I know you've answered a few of these already, but like I said, new listeners. So how did you get into hunting, mate? How did that start?
Pretty young age, mate. I had an uncle who was a mad keen pig hunter because I grew up in the district. They'll, 2 o'clock morning, get ups in the freezing cold. Well, this is back in the day when we used to sit on the back of the ute with the dogs all the way from town out hunting all day. Two of my uncles are mad pig hunters. One of my uncles was a professional rooster for many years. Yeah. That's where I got the love of it, mate. Yeah.
And were you boxing pigs back then, obviously?
Yeah, mate, we were boxing them back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was back in sort of nearly pre-accreditation days. Yeah. And then sort of the accreditation came in, just before I left home and went on my first adventure. But, we were still boxing pigs. There was no shortage of them back then.
No, definitely definitely wouldn't.
That was a good day.
Yeah, well, old Johnny Williams has made songs about it, so it must be
there was no shortage of pigs there. Like, I still remember being a kid hitting mobs of, 30, 40, 50 pigs in a mob, so that was a good day. You didn't know which way to go.
How does it weigh up today, mate, in that, topic? Like, some people say, you have a couple of good wets and we're back to normal like that. But for back then, talking about pre-accreditation days to now, how do you see the pig numbers? Are they bigger or smaller?
Oh, shitload smaller. There's still a lot of pigs around, but not like the old days. Like, you'd hit, there'd be nothing to see 1,000 pigs a night. You know, and this is back in spotlight days, mate. Didn't have a spotlight as we have these days. You know,
Yeah.
you know, the old dolphin torch hanging around your neck. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
The,
no,
yeah, there's pigs about, don't get me wrong, but not like when I was a kid, you know, when I was preteen. Yeah, nothing like that. Like, yeah, you wouldn't have anyone talking about mobs of pigs like that, not unless you went north, you know. Like, yeah, they're starting to grow a lot more grain crops up north, they're starting to get them, but yeah, not like out west here.
Yeah, okay. It's very interesting, you know, because my old boy talks about long reach. Aramac that way when I was a baby or before I was born, and he'd just say, oh, we used to catch pigs off every turkey nest, you know, before all that kind of jazz. And he said, oh, obviously things have changed due to accreditation, and people want to make money, then aerial shoots and poisoning and vice, you know, all the fun stuff. So it's just an interesting question. I thought, you know, how do people see it these days? So yeah, anyway. All right. Any key mentors, mate? Figures, people that obviously your uncles were a big influence. But do you ever have anyone that, you know, a key mentor, a dog trainer, or something like that to, you know, really spark your interest?
Oh, not really, mate. Just my uncles. Yeah, that's what it mainly was. I had a good mate, sort of, as I got a bit older. He was a master dog trainer. He used to train dogs for the Australian Federal Police and stuff like that. I learned a lot of good techniques and a lot of patience, I suppose. Off him, you know, like, yeah, once you patience is the game. But that's about it, mate, really. My uncles, and yeah, got a good mate as I sort of was in my mid-20s, I suppose. Got to know him, and yeah, he was a very good dog trainer, as in security dogs and stuff. So
is there anything that sticks out that he taught you? As in, like, for me, when I was with you, hunting with you, I noticed you didn't say a great deal to the dogs, other than when they got it, like that you were high praise. But yeah, is there something like, you know, for me, it's always attitude, how you look, how you react, was a big thing with dogs with me. Is there anything your friend pointed out to you that, you know, has always stuck with you?
Just like you said, more so having specific words, like, you know, no point trying to have a conversation with a dog. You know, it's not as if you're chastising him. Like, it's specific words and body language with the dogs. Like, I don't know, I can growl at my dogs and they'll keel over. You know, like, they'll lay back. And just being able to read dogs' behaviour, you know, like, yeah, that's a big thing. Being able to read your dog's behaviour and subtle signs and I've got a pack of males now, nearly all males. And, you know, they have their little tiffs, but I can yell out the window and they'll stop. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's a time spent with them too. You just get to know your dogs and their attitudes.
No, it's a good point. I'm going to play these videos while we're talking because I've got 11 minutes of it. So we'll keep yakking. We'll have videos playing while we're going. So, mate, what was your first dog?
Oh, God, my first dog. still remember. Her name was Bundy. She was actually given to me. She was she'd broken a hip and she sort of would run on three legs just about. Yeah. But she was a boxer wolfhound cross. And, God, she was a freaking good dog. She'd sort of had a brilliant nose on. This is back before trackers. You know, we thought, she'd forever. You'd forever spending nights in the ute waiting for her to come back. In the good old days before trackers.
Yeah. Well, I've got quite a few questions from Instagram as well today as what I've got. So I'm going to try and flick through the questions as fast as I can, and we'll keep talking while we're going. So I got one from Matt Pennis, who's out near Longreach Way. He's a listener and a watcher and a good follower. He's you know, a pretty handy guy to have around, Matt. And he's asked, what kind of dogs have you had over your career, and how did they work? As in, how do they work? And was it trial error to the ones you end up with?
I was always partial to hairy dogs, like deerhound crosses, fast dogs. That's what my uncle had. That's what we grew up with. Like bully crosses. Bully stag crosses. So I sort of, when I got back into it, when I came back home, that's what I sort of got back into, the bully stag crosses. I tried the early bull Arabs and just didn't have any success with them. Just the style, I didn't like buff-headed, strong-headed dogs. Like you had to be patient with your hairy dogs, but it just, once they clicked, they were just unbeatable. You had the best of every world: speed, stamina, nose, eyes, brains. And I tried, you know, I had a bully, was a mastiff boxer at one stage, just too slow for my liking. Bully greyhounds, like, I've still got Rex, he's still in the yard, he's nearly 7 year old now.
There he is.
And he's still thumping along, that dog. Like, he's quick, he's hard, he's nose, he's smart. I've got a lot of
him. He's the full package, I reckon. For me, for watching Rex, when I was there, Rex was only 18 months old, I believe.
Yeah, he was only young.
Yeah, and he was the whole package at that age. So I'd love to see how he goes now, because he was finding, he was doing everything.
It's funny enough, he's the first bully grain that's ever worked out for me. I've had some deaf ones, I've had some really headstrong, like two headstrong ones. I've just always gone back to those bully stags and hairy dog, like those leggier type dogs, always. And then, I've got a couple of bull Arabs now, but they came from a mate of mine who bred some handy dogs, and I just sort of give them a go, and I've actually had some pretty good success with them. But funny enough, one of my big bull Arabs I'm going to put back over Rex's daughter, which her mum was a purebred deerhound. So I'm going back that way. So
yeah. Well, you had that. I think it was a deerhound. He's in a bit of the footage, I believe.
Larry, that's Rex's son. Yeah, I've got his sister. Yeah, he was Rex over a purebred deerhound. They bred some handy dogs, they were. Yeah, all the pups that are still alive are pretty darn handy. And I've still got a daughter. She's quicker than her father. She's not as hard as her father, but she's got a bit of brains.
Yeah. So, mate, when you're looking at dogs, you've mentioned a bit, but how long are you waiting, for example, for the hairier dogs like the stags? Because I, from memory, when I was there, Bluey was probably only 12 months, only probably 16 months old. And you were really happy one day. We got to a pig and he lugged up and, he had a good boar on his own. How long are you waiting for? What kind of tendencies are you looking for when you're, looking for a good dog like who's Bluey's on screen now? How long are you giving him before you're going, okay, maybe he's not going to make the cut?
I don't know. It all depends, mate. It really does. And it's a pretty hard question to answer. Like, I know plenty of blokes that have, I've gotten a dog and some bloke says it's not going to work out, it's shit, and you ring him 2 months later and goes, it's a fucking world beater.
Yeah.
It's all on personality. It's no different than your group of friends.
Yeah.
You're going to have friends you don't click with. You know, want nothing to do with them. Like, you got dogs. I've had a dog that I bred out of Bluey, and it's the last of his line, of that line that I had, that I just didn't click with.
Yeah.
We just didn't click, and so I ended up giving him to a mate of mine, and they clicked, and they went really well. But, I'm a bit like that. It's your personality style. Like, I've had dogs that, like Rex. Rex was a bit over 12 months old. And he's a bully greyhound from an old line down south, and he wasn't interested in pigs at all. And all of a sudden, one day, he just clicked. And before that, I was like, Jesus Christ, you're a bully greyhound. And he wouldn't even go near a pig at 12 months old.
It's weird, eh?
And then he just clicked. So it's all about personality. You know, I've got some young pups now out of a bull Arab and one of Rex's daughters, that, you know, they love getting out in the bush and running around, but they're not overly interested in pigs at the moment, but they love riding on the ute. And yeah, that's Ralphie there. That's Rex's son over at Purebred Deerhound.
Oh, okay.
He clicked really early.
Yep.
He did. Yeah, the young dog, he clicked really early. Yeah, but I don't know, mate. For me, it's just personality. You click with the dog. It's not always about keeping a bloodline going because, you know, it's just a, yeah. And style, like I've got a brother and sister out of a litter now. At the moment, they're totally different style. One's sort of a real sort of smooth cape, stag look, bully stag looking dog, really nice style of dog, and the other one's just a short bull Arab looking little tiny thing.
Yeah.
You know, but she actually she wants to hunt better than him. But yeah, it's a hard question for me to answer, mate, to be honest.
It is.
I click with them,
Yeah.
Yeah. I give them a fair bit of time.
Yeah.
I'm really, really fussy where my dogs go if I've spent time with them.
Yeah. Well, you know, from everything that I've seen and, you know, I've been there first-hand experience, they're well looked after, especially your wife being used to be a vet or, you know, a vet nurse or something like that. So
she vet was tech,
always,
yeah.
Yeah, she was always looking after them very, very well.
Yeah, a few phone calls, buddy, 2 o'clock in the morning to stitch dogs up or look after them.
Yeah, oh, well, you found the magic one there because, yeah, very nice. It's a sorry about the hard question, mate. I thought I'd throw it in because I think you hit the nail on the head. It's all about personality. You know, because you can see how when I was there with you, Rex and Bluey just gelled and got on so well. Where I know exactly what you mean when they don't work out because you're butting heads all the time and you're frustrated and it just doesn't work. And, you know, I gave a dog back to a mate and he said, oh, this is the thing, best thing ever. And I was like, well, you know, happily take it because I just didn't like the way it worked. That's just dogs sometimes. They work and for you and they'll work for someone else.
Yeah, that's right. Personality, how they click within your pack that you've already got. Like, I could have the best looking dog in the yard that's the best hunter in the whole of Australia. But if he's picking a fight with my old favourite dog, Rex, well, I'll just piss him off straight away.
Yeah.
So that's why I tend to just breed my own now or get, you know, a pup off someone that I know really well. Or I know the parents, so.
Yeah. We've got quite a few people watching, so if anyone has questions, please put them through. If I'll read them if it's the right time, because I have got a fair few questions for Jamie. I was kind of surprised at how many I wrote down and we got given. So starting out, mate, if you're a new pig hunter and you've magically ended up with thousands of acres, what would be the best technique to get a dog going without having an older dog?
Walk.
Perfect. Walk. Thank you.
Walk. Mate, we walked for kilometres when we were kids, you know, and teenagers, in my 20s. We'd get, you know, as a kid, we'd get dropped off out of a place and we'd walk and we'd just end up back at the start and we'd hobble the pigs as he went around. And then when my uncle would turn up, we'd go and pick them all up. Walk. Walk. Perfect. It just gets them excited. They get used to the smell and they get used to getting out by themselves and, walking.
No, the true word said just then. I love that answer. It's just walk.
Yeah. It's the dogs love the thrill of the chase. So if they spook something and they go, oh, I want to chase that, yep, you're going to have them chase wallabies, you're going to have them chase kangaroos, anyone that's got a dog and says, my dog's never done it before, they're full of shit. That's just my opinion, and I'll stick to it. I got Rex now. He's got a bit of a bung eye. Sometimes he'll chase a kangaroo, and you'll see him. He'll be about 20 yards off it, and he'll pull up and go, shit, fuck, that's what you are, because he's a bit bung in one eye.
Yeah.
But just walking. The thrill of the chase, they love it. And I find dogs will go quicker, the thrill of the chase, if they haven't got that real big bully breed in them where they just, you know, mongrels. Can't walk enough.
Perfect answer. I love that. The old boy used to say that to me all the time.
So my uncle always said,
Yeah. We used to have the creeks down the back in the common, and I used to beg Dad to let me take the four wheel, and be like, "Nah, go walk."
My uncle used to, that's where we learned from my uncle. We'd walk. We'd get out on some good places, and we'd walk the creeks and the gullies, and
it's you know, don't see it happening anymore, which is very sad. So you know, you can tell when it doesn't. For you know, I've got a couple of stories in mind thinking of it straight away. One was Trace Cronin. He said no one will get out and walk the paddocks that he walks around where he lives. That's why he catches the big boys. Everyone drives past them. So Right, before we get into the chiller game, and we're talking about dogs and stuff, I've seen you've had a bit of an accident a little while ago.
Nearly a year and a half ago, I suppose it was.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it on me little video. But, give us a rundown, mate. What happened there?
There's a bit of a backstory to it as well, but
we got plenty of time. I got
up one more. These two dogs grew up as pups together, just about. Caught me thousands of pigs. I was one of the two main dogs I used for a long, long time. And they'd work really well together. You take one without the other, and the other one wouldn't work. It just, you'd notice it on the back of the ute. You'd want to be crook or hurt, and the other one just wouldn't work. So there was a bit of a tussle going on between them. There was always one boss in the yard, but it was actually Bluey and Rex. Bluey got busted up pretty bad by a good ball. I don't know if people have seen the videos, the ball that actually came in nearly banged up my buggy, and then Bluey had got him and went around circles with him, but he sort of got hit up really bad up around his face, and he severed a couple of nerves in his face. And ever since then, he just wasn't the same dog. He had an attitude problem. Now, Bluey was one of the most placidest dogs ever. Never, ever thought about starting a fight. And then he'd just have a crack at Rex every now and then, and Rex would put him in his place, or I'd split him up. And then they got into a half-decent fight, got split up, and they were fine. And then they end up, I actually was talking to Tonks about it. I'm mates at Tonks, and just sort of asking his opinion on because I'd noticed his attitude changed in this dog. Not around me or the kids or anything, just around other male dogs. He was sort of very short-tempered, and he was never like that as a dog. He was very placid because that breed, like Bluey's breed, the few blokes have got it, and they are a very placid dog. They're not even a hard-lugging dog. So anyway, one morning I got up about 5 o'clock, let them all out as I always do every morning, and Bluey and Rex had got into a fight, and it was a pretty bad one. They got stuck into it. So I went out, as I always did. I know this is probably stupid of me, and everyone says don't try and break up a dog fight. I've broken up many a dog fights by just yelling at him, but Bluey just wouldn't let him go. He had him by the ear and would not let him go. No matter what I did, I'm not into beating dogs, but I broke a broomstick over his head. I hit him. And as I did that, I fell over. And they ended up virtually over top of me fighting. So I went to push. Rex couldn't see, and I went to push him away, and he snapped at me, and he bit me the first time on my calf. He didn't know he was biting me. So I punched him, and that made it worse. And he bit me again. And then the third time he latched on. And he had his eyes closed because I could see everything. And I thought to myself, if he starts shaking, I'm fucked. I'm not scared of nothing. I'm not no tough prick, but that fucking put the wind up me. I was shitting myself because I felt every tooth mark. And so I virtually put my thumbs in the back of his mouth and opened up his jaw because that's the most leverage in a dog.
Yep.
Open his jaw up, and then he ended up grabbing my little finger. And then I pushed him away. I ended up getting away and pushed him away and sort of forgot about the dog fight. And as I looked down, he'd actually severed one of the arteries that go down my leg and the nerve. So it was virtually like someone had turned a tap on. And because I suppose on top of the really bad wound is where it's just there, that big hole. That's where he punctured the artery and severed my nerve. So I couldn't feel it, but it was like someone turned a tap on. So I yelled out to Deanna, and she came out thinking I'd done something stupid, and virtually had to put a tourniquet on my leg, call the ambulance, and got rushed to hospital. I was in hospital for 3 weeks, had 4 surgeries.
Wow.
I end up having to have more of my calf cut out because I end up with a pretty bad bacteria growing in my leg. So, yeah, they were on the verge of that. They didn't know whether they were going to end up having to sort of take most of my calf because they couldn't get the bacteria under control. But, yeah, so in light of that, like, yeah, we end up making the decision. Deanna ended up getting them split up. Like, that's what I mean. Like, he wasn't aggressive to anyone else in the family. It was just he had a set on Rex and just thought, well, I want to be top dog. But I think the head injury is what – and it's like when I was talking to Tonks about it, and we both agreed that people don't realise that dogs are like old boxers. You know, like you get punched in – people. Some people that I talk to and the younger fellas don't realise that when a dog's on a pig, they don't get an injury. It's just like football or boxing. I've done plenty of boxing. You get punched enough in the chest, it's going to hurt. And that night, like, Bluey's injury on the side of his face was pretty severe, and it severed the nerves, and I reckon it sort of – that's it changed his attitude. It's a bit like me. If I had a head injury, I'd be sillier than I am now, you know, and because it was just a switch. And ever since then, he changed. So we made the decision to have him put down, like we put him down ourselves, and we had him cremated and whatever else, because he was a part of the family. And that's why some people go, oh, have you still got the dog, the bitcher? I'm like, yeah, he's my best mate. He didn't know that he was biting me. He had no idea. And I remember when I came home from the hospital, because Rex ended up in the hospital as well, in the vets for about a week, because he had some pretty severe injuries and whatever else from the dog fight.
Yeah.
Rex didn't even know. Like, I got home and I was a bit nervous around him, but he came up and just laid on me and wagged his tail. And even to this day, like, he, you know, if he's doing something wrong or silly, I can growl at him and he'll lay down and be submissive. But because he didn't know he was biting me. So, but the only saving grace, Lawson, was the fact that he severed the nerve and I can't feel my leg. So I was in hospital for 3 weeks with no pain.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, for people who don't know who Tonks is, Greg Tonkins is a dog trainer, very well known. I think he has a business called Blue Canine, I believe.
Yeah.
So a lot of people go to Tonks about exactly what just happened. You know, trying to get the psych of a dog because,
he's a good bloke. He's a ping owner. He's a top bloke.
Yeah.
He's a very top bloke. He's a good bloke.
He's been on the podcast before. For anyone who wants to go back and listen, and his in depth of the psychological aspect of a dog is amazing. So, and I do believe
I spent a bit of time with Tonks.
Yeah, no,
he's a good bloke. Yeah,
it's very sad. You know, that's happened. But like you said, head injuries are not to be mucked around with, and you know, it's very sad that Bluey had to go, and all the your leg got the brunt of it, and
I mean, leg modeling days are over. I'd change careers.
All right, we'll go to a quick ad, and we'll be back in 2 seconds. Are you looking to boil your crabs up? Make sure you measure them properly, or you just want a pot to boil your heads out to do some Euro mounts? Well, the girls at Iron Bark Fabrication have got you sorted. They got the pots to boil, the boilers to boil. Be sure to order from Megan from Iron Bark Fabrication to get your order in now. Special requests are available, and she's always happy to have a chat and talk about what she can do to help you. So make sure you check out Iron Bark Fabrications. Check out Facebook and Instagram, and also TikTok. All right, so next question, mate. Now, for people who don't know Macropod, or what I call it, the chiller game. So Jamie has been a roo shooter and pig hunter and provides for the chillers. So Jamie, just give us a bit of a rundown on how the accreditation works, mate, and we'll get into the questions from there.
Oh, yeah, sort of. Process hasn't changed much over the years. Just got a little TAFE course. Got a gun license because you can't shoot anything under a 2.22 caliber. Yeah, get a rack, you know, stainless or Gowling. Your bars have got to be stainless now, but I've got a stainless rack, so I have had for years. But yeah, you got to do an accuracy course now. You didn't have to when I first started. Yeah, and just your tags nowadays are all barcoded and stuff, so it's specific to the chiller. But yeah, it's a pretty easy game to get into if you want it. Yeah.
So it's a price per kilo. I don't know the price now. What do you know the price?
Oh, probably the best price has been for a long, long time, and I'm talking years, mate. Like freaking hell, 6-7 years, or easy. When I first started out, it was $1.50 over 60, and $1 everywhere else. You know, you'd go and get back, and you'd box 15, 20 pigs easy without even trying. That was before thermals and trackers, and just using a spotlight or trapping them. So you'd make some good money out of it. It's $1 at the moment. It's still all right money now, but there's not a lot of money in it, if that makes sense. Like, I do it just because it helps pay for dog biscuits. I've got a swag of dogs here, and there's not the money in it that used to be, like fuel prices, you know, price of a tire. If you don't take much to spend $300 on a tire if you stake one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so many times.
That leads me to my first question, is how do you find the industry? I remember there was a time they were closing down, like they were opening and shutting and opening and shutting.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, I know one guy up Dubbo way, he just got out of it because he couldn't rely on it. And so did my father. He, you know, he just one week it's open and the week, next week it's not. So how do you find the chiller industry, like the...
It's been pretty consistent lately. I'd say in the last year or so, it's been pretty consistent. The roo numbers have dropped right off. Like, I haven't shot any roos this year. I sort of gave up on that for a little bit. It went through that stage of getting a bad batch of pork and whatever overseas. I'm sure I'm not up with it. I just sort of was hearing it third hand, you know, and what you read in the media. So, yeah, they lost a big contract or something, but it's slowly come back, mate. Like, the roo prices are really good at the moment. Like, it's a good price, but with fuel prices and all that other stuff, you know, like your roo license in bloody – where's Deanna? Help me out. You know, fuel prices and bullet prices and all that sort of stuff. Like, I know roos per kilo are good, but there's not the roos around either. The drought knocked them around a fair bit. And exclusion fences have knocked them around a fair bit. Contrary to what the experts want to say about exclusion fences helping them.
Yeah.
That was a funny article to read. Anyway, it's on the up. It's just that I think it should be more than $1 a kilo. We're getting $1 a kilo friggin' 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, when fuel was 50 cents a litre.
It's a big difference there, you know. We're paying $2 a litre now and, a dollar for a roo.
When I was an apprentice, I used to make more money pig hunting Friday and Saturday nights than I did in my apprenticeship.
Yeah. It's an absolute joke.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Well, the money's there for roos if you want to put the hard yards in. You know, it's not as easy as, you know, even gutting pigs all night. It's not as easy as it looks.
No.
It's frigging time-consuming and, you know, you'll lift the bastards all night, and it takes the fun out of it a bit too. Like, there's plenty of times, mate, I'll go out. Depends on where I'm going and what country I'm hunting. Sometimes I don't even bother boxing them. I just go, oh, fuck, couldn't be fucked.
Yeah.
So it's how I feel in the night and where I'm at. If I'm close to town, it's different. Yeah, because I live out of town. If I was living in town, it's a bit different. You've got to go back there anyway.
Yeah.
But,
It's a long way to go, 60 Ks in, 60 Ks out, you know, and, get the roos, unload them, get your check, and then, you know, you got to drive back in, get your check. It takes a while in the process, and plus then you got to go home and clean it.
It's an all-night affair, mate, you know. So, it's why I sort of not shooting any roos this year. There's not a lot around this district, I don't reckon, to justify it. You know, it's bloody $1,200 for a roo license in New South Wales.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then I've got a family too. Like, I've got more hobbies than you can poke a stick at. So if I go shooting all night, one night, it wrecks me for the whole weekend. You know, I'm not getting any younger.
No.
I can't back up like I used to.
Well,
I need a fatigue management plan now.
You got half a leg too, so you know you're missing half of it. So
that's all right, mate. I'll still manage.
Do you use thermals, mate, at all?
Yeah, mate. I've got a thermal. I'm on the thermal bandwagon. And I freaking love it. changed the whole game, mate. Like, you don't realise what you must have driven past, you know. And especially like nights that I've decided I want to sell them, or I've got a few on. If I've trapped a few or something, like. Absolute game changer, it is. And like you can just look at the local box and what's coming into the box. Like, is just blokes that are getting 5 pigs a night are getting 15.
Yeah,
you know, like the box operator in town, like he's just said, it's just unbelievable the amount of pigs coming in.
Yeah,
you know, so yeah, it's just another tool. You know, you look on social media and everything, oh, getting on the bandwagon, freaking, oh, you're the pussies, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you shouldn't, you know. I just go, well, don't take a spotlight. Don't take a ute.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when better spotlights come out. I remember when I was a kid in Longreach and those sort of spotlights came out. And when a HID first got, we just went, holy shit. We can see twice as far as these old pieces of shit we've got. Yeah. You know, it's, and you know what, for blokes that are doing it for a living, absolute game changer for them buggers, because they're doing it for a living and they pay for themselves pretty darn quick.
Yep.
And you know what? The more pigs that you get, the less choppers come in, the less baiting that gets done. So at the end of the day, it's a tool. So
it's, that's, you know, hit the nail on the head. You know, you could be making a dollar out of it. And, you know, we talk about the aerial shoots, we talk about the poisoning and poisoning is not going to work on pigs. We all know that. Poisoning is better off. It's going to kill more goannas and native wildlife than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, so a thermal game is. Do you have a thermal on your roof, on your
spot? Yeah, mate, on my roof with an iPad. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yep.
I'm still. I've got to go check that out. I showed the old boy my thermal scope, and he just was like, "Wow, this is unbelievable." And you know, I just said to him, you know, what happens if we had this when we were roo shooting back in the day? How many pigs did we drive past? How many roos did we drive? You know, like we, yeah, we did all right because you had good blocks, but those good blocks were thermal. Wow. Well, there's a bit of thermal there. So
I've even noticed too, like, pigs are smart. They're a smart animal. And I've even noticed, like, I've had the wind in my face and you'll see pigs way off in the distance walking off the crop, like they're trotting off the crop. So they've got pigs will scare themselves too, like they're a herd animal. One starts moving, they all start moving, like cattle and sheep. They all go, oh, shit, what's he running from? Oh, shit, we better run. You know, but, yeah, it's absolute game changer. And, mate, it's, I don't go anywhere without mine now.
Yeah, well, can you hook yours up to the buggy?
I've got a mount on the buggy as well. Because I use the buggy just as much as I use my ute. So,
I'm yet to see one, in a buggy in the ute. So it'd be interesting to. I'll have to go and I'm going out with a couple of boys in a few weeks' time. So I do believe they've got the setup. So I'll be really interested to see it. I see a few hunting supply shops now starting to sell the spotlight and the thermal together, which is really cool.
Package deal.
Yeah. Well. You know, like, it'd be, you know, the way they do it must be really well engineered, how they've got a spotty and then somewhere beside it. All I'd be worried about is losing it or falling off or something like that. But obviously anyway, that's all right. I didn't want to stay on the chiller industry too long, so I'll we've already answered most of my questions about thermals. So when you're roo shooting, mate, what kind of gun do you use?
I sort of depends. I've got a 2.22, 2.23, and a 2.50.
Yep.
2.22, 2.50. It just depends. When I was shooting roos all the time, it depended on what block I went to. Like, I had some good grass blocks and stubble blocks that didn't home a lot of pigs, so I'd just use a 2-2-2 or 2-2-3. But if you're going somewhere that you knew there was a lot of pigs in the stubble, or you're shooting early crop, I'd take the 250.
Yeah.
Just as, you know, good for both things, yeah.
Yeah, no, very good. All right. I'm going to go to the questions from Instagram today. So we had a few. So thank you to the people who commented. And there were a few stupid ones, so I won't read those ones out. But
yeah, the good one.
Do you trap any pigs, mate?
Yeah, mate, I run traps most of the time, yeah. Yep, yeah. Like I said, like I was talking to you before we come on here, you know, like even though I'm a farmer, I'm still a pig hunter, but I'm still a farmer. It's my job. Yeah. You know, and kids enjoy doing it. Plus it's, you know, I see it as money. You know, I'm able to run traps and on a lot of the country around me as well. So,
Do you have like a way that you can, do you have like a way of running your traps, or you just have like, all right, there's a few pigs over there,
got them baited all the time, mate. I've got them baited all the time, and I'll just see if the bait's starting to disappear, or I'll just keep baiting them for a little while, because pigs I don't know how they do it, but they will communicate with each other. And I've had a big bull ring where I've had a few pigs coming into it, and I'm just looking at tracks. I thought, there's not many big fellas coming in here, but I put a camera on it and I baited it for 2 weeks. And by the end of it, I trapped 30 pigs. It started off just a mob of little ones coming in, and then every night new ones would come in. Depends on where I am. I'll live them as well, a little living trailer. If I wasn't going to go, because I won't go to town all the time, that's what I used to do. A lot of hard work in it. Like, it's not as easy as just going to a trap and putting them up a trailer, and then you got to go and feed them and water them and make sure they got water. And so, I used to do that. I haven't done it for a long time now, but mainly just bait them, and then I'll go and set them on a Thursday night if I'm going shooting on Friday night or Saturday night, and as I'm doing the rounds, I'll check them on my way around. Nothing in them, just wire the door back up again.
Yep.
Yeah, a bit of a routine my uncle always used to do. Bait them up, set them on Thursday, check them on Saturday.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, it's easy money, really. What do you use to put in the trap, mate?
Oh, mate, barley, fresh barley, dusty barley. Yep. Like, okay. I don't get into all these concoctions. Yep. Just dusty, like, barley. The pigs around here seem to love it. Okay. I just use barley. They love it. I steam the trap. And funnily enough, chickpea inoculant. Okay. Obviously, not everyone's going to be able to get it. But you put that, and I've done experiments with it, because we always often wondered as farmers, why is it that pigs love chickpeas when you plant them? They will follow a planter. And it's the inoculant. They're not chasing the peas. Yeah. They're chasing the inoculant. When it hits the soil, it obviously it smells. It does got a bit of a smell to it. It must taste nice to them, and it must react in the soil. So I did an experiment, went and mixed it up in the soil, put it in the dirt, and I trapped pigs off that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is the inocular itself, mate? What is a inocular?
Oh, it helps the chickpeas. You've got to put it on chickpeas so they nodulize and they produce their own nitrogen, so you don't have to put any in the ground for them. Yeah, they will nodulize to a certain degree without it, but not nowhere near as much to sort of to get what the yields out of we want to get. But that's what it is. That's all it is. It just sort of feeds them and they produce their own nodules.
Is it like a powder or a
It's a powder you mix it. You can put it on dry on the peas, or you can mix it with water, and that's what sticks to the actual pea itself. But that's my take on it. I reckon that's what they're attracted to. Well, there's just footage of those pigs.
Yeah.
That pig with a big wound that'd been shot by a chopper, I'd reckon. I trapped it. That was just a sty I had set up.
Yep. Couple of good ones there. That'd be
Started fighting and carrying on.
Yeah. All right. So Matt, by the way, Matt, I love your questions. Thank you so much for reading for commenting. So Matt's asked, how long did it take to recover for the leg? You said you were 3 weeks in hospital, but how long all up, mate?
Oh, look, It still aches a fair bit now, and I still get nerve pain, like the wound where the nerve and that was severed. It's sort of just a bunch of, it's still a big hole under my skin there, so it's a raw nerve. If I bump it, it feels like someone's driving a knife in, like in me foot. Recovery wise, I don't know. Might have took about maybe 6 months to walk properly again.
Yeah.
But now it doesn't affect me now. It just aches a bit. Obviously, nerve pain.
Yep.
Yeah, it aches a bit, but yeah, other than that, mate, it's I reckon would have took a good 6 months to come good again.
Yeah, okay.
Mm.
I got this one. I don't know. I haven't read it. Mate's got his license and can process now pretty quickly. Any suggestions of areas to hunt, to go hunt for close to Brass Grubs? I don't even know where that is, to be honest. I don't know. Jamie, you got anywhere around Brass Grubs? Queensland is very
first rule of hunting. Don't talk about hunting. First rule about property. Don't tell them where they are. No, I don't know, mate. I don't know anywhere else around there.
All I can suggest is Chef Camsey is get your R license and head into New South Wales State Forest because it's you don't have to stress about near Goldie. Okay, it's not a great deal around Goldie to be honest, but yeah, I. Personally, Chef Camsey, I'd just get your R license and head in the State Forest up into New South Wales. Around anywhere southeast Queensland, it's very hard to get a property. Very, very hard. So
yeah.
I've only just picked up a small block on the weekend and I'd say I did a lot of ass kissing to get that. So and if I wasn't a butcher, I would never have got it at all. So next question, Jamie. Okay. What got him into the style of dogs he uses? We've answered that one. That would be...
Yeah, my uncle.
So what other dogs has he hunted with, has owned? So you've tried a few different breeds. You've pretty much tried them all now.
Yeah, mate. I went through a stage when I was younger, like the Mastiff Danes were a big thing back in the day. Yeah. You know, that's when pigs were plentiful. You didn't need a fast dog. Just need a big, strong dog because, you know, plenty of 80s and 90s around back in the day. I've got, like I said, I've got a couple of Bull Arabs now. They're pretty, really handy dogs. But got great personalities. Mate, I've had a Jack Russell Cross Fox Terrier. Friggin' mean little dog. Like, when I have my business, I be out with him all the time and he saved me a lot of time in vet bills because he'd make the boars sit down. And that little dog, he'd find his own pigs, that dog. I remember taking a mate out one night and I said, I bet you this dog beats your dog off the ute. And he'd always be in the front. And he'd start whinging. And within a few seconds, the dogs would jump. And I said, you can smell him, the little prick. Like, I've had like four first cross down greyhounds. I've had all sorts of breeds, but I just always come back to those bully stags and stag crosses, you know, like I'm about to do it now. I've got a big bull Arab fella. He's a really handy dog, but he's I know his parents. He's actually a half brother to Bluey, to Rooster, my other bull Arab. Gonna put him over Rex's daughter, so it'll be Arab over a bully greyhound deer hound, just to put some of that hairy dog speed back into him.
Yeah.
Pigs are getting faster now, especially out here in this. They say crop hunting's easy, but I tell you what, the pigs are frigging fast.
Yeah.
They're frigging quick.
Yeah. The first time I hunted out there, you and I both hunt. Well, I don't hunt it anymore, but you still hunt it, that block that we both go to. First thing that the old boy said to me is, holy crap, these pigs are so fast.
Yeah.
They're just like rockets strapped to their ass. It was, I'll never forget it because I just watched a mob and they just went, and it was just, and obviously that's just so much pressure, helicopters, everything. It's
grain fed too, you know.
Yeah, that too.
Just protein, mate. Protein, protein, protein.
Yeah.
Looks like you feed grain to a horse.
I'm going to make sure that does a couple of rounds before you jump on a.
Yeah, they're definitely getting, the pigs are definitely getting faster. You know, the slower ones get killed off, don't they?
That's it. I'll ask you anyway, what's your thoughts on chopper shoots?
Chippy better fucking Old Tibby better be watching. Look, I got two opinions. Obviously, the farmer in me, I see why it needs to be done, and I've done it myself on places that I've managed, because they just get out of hand. And we had a sorghum crop. It was about 3 weeks before I went to America for a holiday, and the pigs just come out of nowhere, and we were dogging them nearly every night and trying to trap them, and we just couldn't get them under control because they just get up in the sorghum, and, you know, you can't catch them all. So I got the chopper in before I left. It depends on who's doing it. I've caught many a pigs that are wounded from a chopper, yeah, and not discarded properly. Look, at the end of the day, it's how you manage it, you know. Look, from a pig hunting point of view, pig hunters hate them, you know, because it takes the fun away, which is fair enough. I understand where they're coming from. But at the end of the day, I can't, you know, if I was just a straight farmer and I said to the bloke that comes here pig hunting, hey, mate, I've lost $100,000 worth of crop just to let you keep pig hunting, you give me $100,000. Pig hunter tell you to get fucked. Yeah. So I see why pig hunters don't like them and they have their opinion about them. But on the other hand, I've done it myself. And if the crop's getting smashed, I'll get a chopper in. Yeah. I've got the added bonus and I'll get up in the chopper myself. Yeah. So it's good fun. Yeah, it's a touchy subject, mate. It really is. Depends on who, you know, if you can have a good conversation with someone, a good debate, you know, it's fine instead of, you know, and being open to the fact that a farmer needs to do it,
yeah,
and it's not your place. You want to go and pay the rates and the interest on it, go for your life, mate. You tell the farmer what to do. Yeah, and that's exactly the attitude that I've got. Yeah. And I think a lot of people in the industry need to check themselves and go, I'm not paying the rates. It's an age-old thing, mate. Who lets who on what place? Oh, you're going hunting on my place. Like, there is an etiquette, don't get me wrong. There's a hunting etiquette. And if I take you somewhere, you don't backdoor me. That's bad etiquette. If I know a mate's already hunting on a place, bad etiquette to go on behind his back. Yep. It's just the hunting etiquette. But at the end of the day, if I don't know you and the farmer lets me on, well, that's just, you know, I've lost places over the years because up-and-coming hunters, but it doesn't bother me. Mate. It doesn't bother me. I don't care who hunts where.
Yeah.
But, anyway, the choppers, it's a double-edged sword when it comes to a conversation, but I see both sides of the story. Yeah. I believe it needs to be managed better. I see it myself where me as a pig hunter and a farmer, I'll try and control them all year round, as a hobby, as trapping them.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you get rain before planting and every farmer in the district's jumping up and down and wants you to include yourself in a chopper shoot that you haven't budgeted for, or you go, no, well, you know, like, it's got to be managed, you know. And I just feel that, that's probably the biggest problem with it, not being managed properly.
Do you think the government should be involved at all, or is it just a private, should be only a private enterprise getting involved and doing it?
Well, it's actually part of the it's actually a law that anyone leasing or owning land has to keep the varmint under control.
Yep.
It's up to you as a landowner, has to keep the varmint under control. Introduce pests or declared as a pest, you have to keep them under control.
Yeah.
So the government just looks back and I guess state, I suppose the government looks after that, but they just put the ownership back onto, you know, the farmers because it's up to us to control them.
Yeah.
I understand why some farmers do it and don't let anyone on, you know. I've seen firsthand in my district what fucking poachers and dipshits can do. You know, like, I mean, as a farm manager and being well known in the district, there's places that I'm good mates with the owners and they don't even let me on.
Yeah.
They don't let nobody on, you know? And I understand it. Totally do.
Yeah. It's getting harder and harder these days because, you know, they can go and do an aerial shoot. They can, you know, you pay someone, I don't know how much an aerial shoot would cost, but, you know, you take a large dint out of the population and, you know, that your kids run around and shoot a few pigs for the afternoon and, you know, other than letting some, you know, pig hunter on the middle of the night, dogs running around, it's, you know, it's an interesting topic to get into and, you know.
It is.
Other podcasters talk about it and I'll go back to Eureka Tactical. Dan's a great one to talk to about that, and he talks a few really really well on that subject in the on the Send It Mate podcast. They talk a fair bit about the whole aerial shooting. I see both sides. It's one of those things you just go, well, pigs, yeah, I understand absolutely, but deer in national park, that breaks my heart a little bit. But obviously, pigs and deer do so much damage to native fauna and fauna. It's just so sad. So I understand both sides. It's a rabbit hole. You can go down further and further. And
that's what I said, mate. Yeah, you got to. It's a conversation you got to try and have with people that aren't close-minded.
That's it. You know.
Otherwise, you'll spend all day arguing with them.
Yeah. I've got a
few matter questions. Which side you're on.
Exactly. You know, I absolutely see it. So, Chef Camsey, I see your comments coming through, mate. I'm cracking the hour mark, so I'm going to just try and bang out these questions, and so Jamie can go to bed. I got a question here from the Smashed Crab. Jamie, what other styles of hunting interest you and why?
I wouldn't mind going on a deer hunt. I've never been on a deer hunt. I was balling and trawling. I've been talking to him a fair bit lately, and yeah, just watching some of his latest stuff. And he's not far from me. Like, I wouldn't mind going on doing that one day. The stalk.
Who was that? Sorry,
boar and trawling.
Oh, boar trawling. Sorry, yeah, boar and trawling. Yeah.
Like he called that deer in the other day, and I was talking to him. I said, "Fuck, that'd be a blast."
Yeah.
You know, physically calling an animal in. Like, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I've got the bug at that moment. I've been trying fox whistling. I've been trying, I've called a few dogs in. I've even got Pomeroy last week or the week before.
That transgender bloke.
Yeah. Pomer. Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
That poodle dog.
Yeah, the poodle boy. He put me onto this app. I don't know if you can see it. Game Pests Calls Australia. And it's pretty cool. So I'm going up to a state forest and I'm going to try and croak in a few stags and try and call in a couple of reds. So we'll see how we go. It's just something a bit different, something interesting. Speaking about Born Trawler, I've asked him to come on the podcast a while ago, and I've been a bit slack trying to get back to everyone and plan and dates and stuff.
He's good bloke.
Yeah, because he does a bit of dog training too, I believe.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully we can get him on the podcast down the track and get him to talk about his training little exercises, and he won't tell too many secrets, but also talk about, like, he got some prime country because he's got deer coming in and catches pigs most afternoons, so.
Yeah, he's like hills.
Yeah. Well, you saw. You remember our experience with hills? We couldn't even get over it without having an issue. The most challenging thing about crop hunting. How does it compare to other hunting countries, like, you know, Downs countries, going sorghum? How do you find crop hunting compared to like Cape York or floodplains and stuff like that?
Oh, they all have their challenges, mate, but it depends on, when the crop's pretty high, just before it starts to turn, the pigs will get right out in the middle of it. And if you've got a pretty good crop, it's pretty hard to get through, and the dogs, it's pretty hard for the dogs to pick up pigs in it.
Yeah.
And even catch them. Sorghum's the same. I guess that's where thermals have really come into their own, where they actually, for once, even thermal drones, you can actually see how hard, people are saying, oh, my fucking dog missed a pig, the useless prick. And, I don't think that's the stupidest comments ever. But when you watch them on a thermal drone, you just go, pigs aren't dumb, mate. Like, they're a frigging smart creature. But depends on what time of year. We have the added bonus of stubble time. It's fun hunting. The dogs get late. You'll notice with the dogs too, during stubble, they just get real lazy. Yeah. And they'll just follow the light, and you'll watch them. They'll constantly watch the light. They will. And then you come off stubble time when the crop's back in again, or come winter time when you drive around the buggy. And I reckon it takes a couple of hunts for them to tune their nose back in.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, we have the best of both worlds, I think. Probably no different than cane. Like, they do it tough in the cane. We do it tough in the crops. Like, canola. You try and hunt canola, you can't walk through the shit, let alone frigging hunting it. But the pigs love getting up and nesting it. But once it comes off, she's free reign.
Yeah. No, I think you know, a lot of people think, it's crop, it's easy, you know, once it cuts. You know, yes, you got your pig hunters who go pig hunting once the crop, you know, becomes stubble. Okay, well, like you said, dogs get lazy and that's your fun time. But, you know, a proper pig hunter like yourself and many others, they will go out, you know, even when the crop's up, because, you know, that's when the crop needs protecting. So
I reckon some of the easiest hunting is Cape York. You want to hunt easy pigs. Oh, you know, yep, you still got to find them, but it's so easy to find. You know, you hit mobs of frigging. Oh, I reckon it's a difference. It's just an experience. Like, hopefully I'll be up there this year. Was meant to go 2 years ago, but obviously I was in hospital, but with my leg. But, yeah, just for the experience, you know, get some, you know, cracking big balls. But, it all has its challenges, mate.
Yeah, well, hopefully you go up and go and see Frog Dog.
Yeah, mate, yeah, going to try and catch up with Frog again. He was down here not long ago.
No, that's good. Questions? Shooting, we've asked that one. Do you trap? Lovely. I think we're all done with the questions there. I'm just making sure me tick me list off. All right. Last couple, mate, and I'll let you go. What would be your dream hunt?
Jesus, dream hunt. I guess it's like, just go on the Cape, mate. I haven't actually been there yet. I planned a trip 2 years ago and only bloody weeks before it, I ended up in hospital. But this year, hopefully, it'll come off. I don't know. My dream hunt's just getting out and having fun, mate. Yeah. Really, I just enjoy it. It's making memories with the kids and, you know, every hunt's a memory. Every hunt, you might have a dog work a bit easier, or you might miss that one big boar and you go, oh, crap, you know, I don't get shitty about it. I go out and catch 5 80-kilo balls. That's great. But if I go and catch 2 little slips that the dog, young pup found by itself, it makes my night.
Nothing better when your young dog kicks in or something like that. There's always there's so many benefits in certain different ways. You know, unless you're a pig hunter with dogs, you're not going to know until you do it. Last one, a bit of a different one. Well, not different, actually. How do you see the hunting industry and how do you see where it's going?
Oh, look, I don't reckon the hunting industry's changed much since I was a young fella. We still had poachers. We still had dickheads. We still had good blokes. You know, it's still the same. The laws have gotten tougher for a good reason. Like, you know, New South Wales are pretty tough laws now. You get caught poaching.
So it should.
Look, I reckon pig hunting's gotten easier. You know, improved spotlights. We got tracking. I've seen it all. Like, you know, life trackers came out. You had to be frigging rich as hell to come buy them. You know, you'd have a wand and you'd go beep, 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 beep. Oh, the dogs are in that direction. You had no idea how far away they were. No. Then you'd walk a few hundred metres and you'd, oh, no, dog's back over here, you know. Yeah. Back in the day, we didn't mind trail barkers because you knew what direction they were going.
Yeah.
You know, with the invention of trackers, like, holy shit, didn't that change the game?
Yeah.
And now we're on the next evolution of thermals.
Yeah.
You know, you had to be mega rich to buy a thermal back in the day. Now you pick up a thermal for $700. You know, it's just the way it goes, mate. You've got to have improvements, you know. That's like I said, if people want to get on the bandwagon, a lot of it's just, you know, people baiting each other and people bite. Oh, you know, you hunt with a thermal, you're a pussy. Well, don't hunt with a light, don't hunt with the tracking calls. Just go walking with your knife and the dog. But, mate, there's tools there, use them. So I don't see it changing. It's changed a lot. I don't think it has. Like I said, we, you know, you still got blokes fighting over country. You still got blokes that'll help other blokes. You still got poachers. You know, like, yeah. I don't reckon it's changed that much. Just it's got easier.
Yeah, no, it's definitely gotten easier. The tools we're you know, getting is making life so much easier.
The dogs are more refined.
Yeah.
You know, it's just evolution, mate. It's yeah. It's funny, I don't know what it's gonna be like in the next 20 years, what's gonna happen there. But yeah, anyway, we'll just sit back and enjoy it while we can. Like,
that's it.
Do less fighting with some other prick about the colour of his dogs. Like, just go and enjoy yourself. Like, fuck me. Life's too short. Yeah,
exactly. And I think I think people are I've seen it, you know, I've seen it with you. You've you've slowly backed out of social media. You've taken a bit of a back seat because, you know, there are just so many people who are just too many dickheads out there.
I don't bite too hard either. I sort of stir them more than anything if they want to try and stir. Like, you know, yeah. I don't have too many feelings and they're not going to hurt any of mine. Like, I've got pretty thick skin. But it's just, I don't know. It's an age-old thing, the internet, mate. So, you know, it's what's that saying? The internet's made people forget about what a punch in the mouth feels like.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You know, it's all about, you know.
Yeah. I know.
I'm exactly up for a good banter. Don't get me wrong. I'm up for a good banter. But sometimes it just, you know, it just gets taken a bit too far. So, yeah, I have taken a bit of a step back, especially from Facebook, you know, putting stuff on there. But anyway, it's just, yeah. Is what it is. I do a bit of filming for Jesse too, so I sort of normally just let Jesse take care of it.
Yeah, and that's it, mate. It's what makes you happy, and if people, I've the haters and all that kind of stuff. Like this week, I had some guy, I just tried helping someone out with a comment, and I got a basic, simple laughing emoji, and I just, you're just like, there's no need for it. There's no. It's not necessary. It's just people trying to help people. That's fine. People like we talked about Greg Tonkins. He tries to help a lot of people, and it's just helping people these days is a very rare thing. And I try and do as little as possible on Facebook and social media. I'll just share my posts and I'll get off again. And I'll put up when the next podcast is, or if I've got something coming out, and that's basically all I try and stick to. If someone needs some help, I try and help them where I can. But it can be a really good tool, and it can be a really bad tool. So
you just got to have thick skin, mate. Take it with a grain of salt. Like, I don't really give two shits what people think about me or whatever. I've got blokes that probably think I'm a dickhead. I've got blokes that probably think I'm fucking the best bloke since going sliced bread. I don't know. As long as, don't really care. As long as it's people that matter, I'm respectful to them, whatever else, but more than happy to help people out, and I've done it in the past, but I'm more than happy to tell people how I feel about them to their face too. But, I don't get into this. I've seen it myself, like you said, mate, on the internet, like blokes having squabbles over the internet over something someone put on, and it turns into, I'll meet you at the next fucking pig hunting comp, and then I feel like going to these pig hunting comps with a big bit of chalk and drawing a circle and say, well, get in it, mate. But, just get into it and stop talking about it. But
what's the saying? Yeah, that's it. Run your, they say, run your dogs, not your mouth. Or I don't know. I love it all. It's all interesting.
It's all, mate. I'm just here to have some fun. Like, I've got a few good mates that I hunt with, and we sort of, got a mutual agreement. We hunt together and they hunt with me and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's why I do 90% of my hunting by myself, because, I just, no tolerance for bullshit. I'm just there to have fun. I'm not there to catch the biggest pig. I've got some freaking handy dogs, and I've seen them do some dumb shit, even at their ages. And, like I said, blokes that say their dogs don't do dumb shit, they're full of shit. Like I said, I've seen, Rex is a very seasoned dog and caught thousands of pigs, and he still does dumb shit sometimes. I just shake my head at him, But it's, No. I'm just there for fun, mate. I enjoy it. It's a hobby. And the less I found, like, you know, with the industry and with the pig hunting game, the less we take it seriously, the less we look like dickheads to social media, the less we look like dickheads to everyone out there and the farmers. Farmers are on social media now. You know, what's the first thing you do when you want to stalk someone? Go on Stalkbook. Like, you think if you go to a farmer and say, "Can I go hunting?" and he says, "What's your name?" he doesn't stalk you, like, of course he's gonna. No different than back in the day, you went and seen someone, they go, "Oh, where do you hunt?" and "Oh, yeah, I know that farmer, I'll give him a ring, see what you like." You know, I think the less people try and showboat and want to be, get the most likes and have everyone love them, the less we'll, you know, bunch of pig hunters arguing over the smallest shit on social media, most of them look like a batch of fuckwits.
It's exactly right. And
that's just my opinion. You know, like, yep, there's some fair arguments, and you can scroll through the comments and find an actual pretty good debate. You know, it's an age-old thing about the chopper debate, you know? I remember, I think it was when I went to America, I was in America and met up at a gun convention and met up with these blokes, and he was from New Zealand. He had a bunch of Chinese blokes with him. And I had the best night in Vegas with those blokes, I'll tell you, and talking to them about shooting. And these Japanese blokes they were willing to pay like up and over 10 grand a day just to go out in a chopper. And I just went, looked at myself and thought, fuck the pig hunting with dogs. I'm just going to fucking set up a bloody chopper shoot with these Chinese blokes. You know, but yeah, it's all a hobby, and if the more we look after our hobby, the more it's going to hang around, you know.
And that's exactly right. Look after it. You know, try and keep the crap off social media if you can.
Showing some people just the old respect thing's going out the window. If you don't agree with someone, whoopee fucking do. Yeah. Like,
that's
fucking hell. It mind boggles me when I sit back and I, you know what, I watched some very, and I've seen it myself, I've sat back and watched, and I think we had this conversation once, I've watched some people that are big in social media and everyone loves them, and I've seen some of the shit that they put on there about, you know, wanting to fight someone at a fucking pig hunting comp, like, wow. You know, go and get a pair of boxing gloves and jump in the ring with them and sort it out like men used to, you know, like, just thinking of a story. Like, I remember when my dad used to tell me the story all the time, and it's been told by many of old bloke, and I used to love hearing old stories like this. Like, back in the day, when there was an argument at the pub, it upset everyone at the pub. So all the men would similar age, they'd grab whoever was arguing and wanting to fight each other, and they used to call it Gum Tree Court. And it was a big old gum tree on the outskirts of town, and they'd all rock up out there, and the boys would go, right, punch on. And it was always fair. It was one-on-one. If one got the better of the other one, they pulled it up. If one wanted to stop, they'd stop it. And they'd all go back to the pub.
That's it.
They're all best mate. And I seen it myself, Lawson, when I was bouncing at pubs. You'd have blokes that would never sort their arguments out. And I used to get them around the back of the pub and go, punch on, boys, or go home.
Yep.
Like, get it out of your system. If you're not, you know, if you want to argue with someone, argue with them.
Yeah.
But, and I think that wrecks the industry when you see these well-publicised people carrying on like that. Like, over what? Over something that didn't affect your life? Like,
exactly.
That does the industry a bad turn. But anyway, that's just my opinion. Like, some people are going to like it, some aren't. Don't really care. It's a joy to have an opinion.
I totally agree with you.
Everyone's got one.
Exactly. No, I totally agree with you. Boarding school, that's how we sorted it out. And literally, you become mates after it. And for call someone out at a pig hunting competition, and I know who we're talking about, and it's just ridiculous.
Oh, look, I'm sure they had their valid reason. I'm not here to judge them. I, as an outsider looking in, and I've got the ability to go, you know what, look from a third party perspective, that looks like absolute crap. Why would you want to do that at a fundraising event? For what? Like, they might have had legitimate reasons. Don't get me wrong. It might have been like the bloke might have deserved a punch in the mouth. Who knows? But I don't know. And I've seen very similar stuff go on. And I just think it's, I don't know. I'm just old school. It's the way we're brought up. If you had a beef with someone, you went straight to them, you went to their face, you sorted it out whether or not it'd be a agile thing. You went your separate ways, you didn't talk to each other, or yep. you said, right, you know, yep, I'm ready, you're ready, let's go. Yep. And then afterwards you were like, yep, you got the better of me, whatever. It's
because of these things. These things, people have got, they can run away. And
just have a debate with people. Like, if you don't agree with someone running,
I don't think they're
running hairy dogs.
Yeah.
Well, I know a lot of it's just banter. A lot of it's banter, and you can always pick, you know, the blokes that you know on social media that you don't know in real life, and you can have a banter with them. Some blokes take it very serious, and there's no point. Like, you know, unless someone's rooting your missus, don't take it seriously.
No, exactly. I love it. Anyway,
I'm pretty easy going, eh? Like, I just here for fun. Like, even when we went out, I think one of the first nights we went out, we got like 12 or 13 pigs. There was nothing. Biggest pig would have been 40 kilos if it was lucky.
Yeah.
But we're just having a ball, you know? And I think only it might have been the following weekend, I was up at the same place. I ended up with 13 pigs and nothing under 50 kilos.
Yeah.
You know? Just enjoy it. Like, my daughter enjoys doing it now. Like, she'll get in there and frigging stab pigs and roll pigs and, you know, she has a fat old time.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's, yeah, parenting done right. I took out my daughter on the weekend, and she shot her first little HMR-17, and she loved it. And you know, sadly there was no bunnies around or anything like that, but that's okay. But we had a shot tin can, and my partner, who'd never shot a gun in her life, she had a crack, and she thought, oh, this is not too bad, and you know, it's just making memories. Let her drive the four wheel. I won't let her do that again.
it's handy having these, mate. Like, she can drive the buggy. She can drive the ute now. Like, she'll get a P soon. So it's handy having someone to be able to drive the box for me.
Oh, yeah. No, if it was a buggy, I'd be okay. But four wheeler, she nearly, not understanding the weight ratio and where to put weight and stuff, it kind of freaks me out. So. It wasn't the best block for her to go on.
It's just a hobby. People just need to not take it so seriously. Like, you know, and I'm not here to judge people. I'm not, you know, I'll wait for my phone to start going off with people wanting to get up me over my comments, but it's no skin off my nose. It's just everyone's got their opinions. Like, you know, some people like blue Arabs, some like red Arabs, some like friggin' harlequin colored dogs because they're pretty. You know, it's just who gives a shit? Like, if they want to run three-legged poodles, let them run three. I used to get a lot of people pull the piss out of me on social media because Bluey had poodle in him, and he did. And I tell you what, if I had my time over again, I would have put poodle back in my stags years ago, like John Fuller did. They're a freaking smart dog, mate, and they're more aggressive than you give them credit for. And it's funny, you know, like that Bluey's breed is that line of dogs. There's quite a few of them out there now.
Oh yeah, yeah. We made had a discussion the other day with Palmer. He's got his main dog.
Yeah, I talked to Palmer when he realised where Bluey came from when Bluey was younger. Yeah. Like, I bought Bluey because old mate didn't like him. I wanted him as a pup and missed out on him, and I got him, but I didn't really want him because he was Harlequin, and I didn't really want that gene because people don't realise it's a shit gene. You know, it's a recessive gene. It's not that good a thing to have in your dog, because if you end up putting that blue merle back over something that's got blue merle in it, you end up with fucking mongoloid pups if you're not lucky, not careful. Well, anyway, I talked to Palmer when Bluey was younger. He realised where he come from, and now I think his dog,
I think he's might got have been
the previous litter,
yeah,
out of Bluey,
yeah.
They were just a very well bred, very old line of dog. I remember, I think, well, many years ago I met John Fuller, and I remember being at his house, and this is a long, long time, I'm talking 20 years ago, and I seen this thing, what the fuck is that? And it was a poodle cross back then. But
they've proven themselves, that line. You know, you've had it, and Palmer's got it, and I think he's that line's slowly coming to an end, but it's definitely proven themselves with John Fulham rating him. I've always wanted a stag cross, something like you've got. It's ever since seeing your dogs run, it was just like, I'm sold.
Yeah, it's quite anything, like when I bred Rex with that purebred deerhound I had, everyone said, oh, it's fucking waste. They're shit. They'll be shit. Mate, a lot of them dogs went down south as kangaroo and rabbit dogs, and I still talk to a few people that have got them, and I had Ralph. Ralph was he was a gun dog at 12 months old. It's so sad that I lost him at a young age, but because he was just a cracking dog, and all those dogs worked out well. And I've still got that line now that I'll put this Arab fella back over. But I don't really care. You run fucking mini foxies. I don't give a shit. You run frigging dash hands. I don't give a shit what you run. As long as you're having fun.
That's it.
Fucking have fun.
Anyway, if you watch the boys from the Wells Boys Adventures.
Yeah, I watched those boys on the net. Yeah.
They run a little dash hand, Chiefy.
That little mini foxy I had. Yeah. He was frigging unreal, eh? He was the funniest little dog.
Yeah.
And got some balls about him, but he was just a house dog that decided he wanted to chase pigs, and he loved it ever since. But I've got one parting comment: is just fucking enjoy the hobby. Don't get tied up in the bullshit. Do your own thing. Enjoy yourself. Do the right thing by a farmer. Don't treat the place like it's yours because it's fucking not.
Yeah.
And just have fun, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's the perfect place to wrap it up. I think as long as we have fun, that's the main thing. It's because people try and make a dollar out of it. People try to make it so serious. Just have fun. I know, for example, my little brother, he's like yourself. He just hunts as much as he can. He loves it, and he won't take cameras with him. He won't do anything. He just wants to enjoy it and just have fun. That's all it's all about. And good on you guys for doing it. I have so much respect for you because of your training, your dog training, who you are. So again, you were the first person to take me out with BSB and to basically help me. So I thank you so much for that.
All good, mate. Thank you again.
Thank you again for coming on the podcast.
That's all right, mate. That's all right. I can raise shit for hours.
Well, we can get into the chopper stuff later.
Yeah. It's a bit of clickbait, mate.
Clickbait, that's it. All right, guys. I've got two more ads. Got two more ads to play that I'm gonna call it. So thank you very much for again, mate. Appreciate it, and we'll keep in contact.
No worries, buddy. Thank you.
All good.